Always blessed by the music that our folks bring. Chris, thank you for your wonderful leadership for us. Pray for Chris and her family. They're in the process of making a transition, and the next month or so, they'll be moving somewhere. In fact, Chris, where'd you go? Where will y'all be moving to?
Well, all goes through Dixon. It'll be in Dixon, Tennessee, where my mother
is. Oh, my, that's not so.
Well, unfortunately, it is. And I tell you, we have been so blessed. And Chris, thank you. We'll have more to say about this later on, but thank you for the wonderful job that you do and the sweet spirit that you always bring to the worship services.
But it's only 172 miles.
172 miles.
I figured it out 2 weeks ago when I went up there.
172 miles.
He's been a joke for ever since I came from out.
Well, let's look at God's Word together this morning, shall we please? I have a couple of titles for the message this morning, and one of them is the song that we sang just a few moments ago for the offertory, Blessed Assurance. And I love that song, and I love it when Jack sings that song for us. And where'd he go? Anyway, he does a great, great job. And that's a wonderful thing. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I was looking through my notes, and if my memory is correct and my notes are correct, it's been over 2 years since I preached a message on assurance. And I thought, as I prayed through what to do for this morning, I became aware that we need to hear more about assurance. And so I want us to look together at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And it's a verse of admonition as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Now, the letters that Paul writes to Corinth are interesting in so many ways. They talk about spiritual gifts. They talk about dissension in the church, difficulties that Paul noticed in the life of the church. And Paul admonishes them in the most basic of the areas of Christian living because there were so many things going on in Corinth that weren't supposed to be. Paul really wanted them to say, among all the things he wanted them to know, I want you to know that you know that you know that life's greatest matter, your relationship with Christ, is settled and you're sure and secure in that relationship. Folks, if there's anything we can't afford to take for granted, it's our relationship with the Lord. And we ought to be able to say, Lord, I know that I know that I know because, and then give the Lord biblical reasons why we can say that we know that we're saved. And so I want you to know, and by the way, this is not a message. I've heard preachers through the years say different things, and I know they mean well, but I believe sometimes I almost get the feeling that some have tried to plant seeds of doubt. And I don't ever want to do that intentionally. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and give you an amen in your spirit about your spiritual condition or a red light, whichever the case may be. And if you're not saved, if you've not made life's greatest choice, if you've not been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be today by God's grace. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said to the church at Corinth, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove ye your own selves. Take a matter of personal inventory, if you will. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that ye are not reprobates. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, we find contained these words. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may, that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The assurance of salvation is so significant and so important. And in your notes this morning, I've tried to share with us some basic premises of the importance of assurance of salvation. And notice, please, that we have here some passages that relate to the fact of the significance of blessed assurance. Why is it so important? Well, first of all, it is a source, that is, assurance is a source of our joy in the Christian life. that, in fact, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, Paul said, I write unto you that your joy may be full. There's something about saying, I know that I know that I'm saved by the grace of God, that makes you a candidate to be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, to think about it. Saved by God's grace and not by anything which we have done, by works or anything by merit. Saved by God's redemptive plan in the shed blood of Christ on Calvary's cross. And saved by the grace of God, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That your joy may be full. When I think about what it means to be a child of God, washed in the blood, cleansed by the sweet, precious grace and the blood of the Lamb of God, I just say, Lord, bless your holy name, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. And joy fills the soul of the believer when they realize the significance of what it means to be saved by the grace of God. Now, folks, if you don't have joy unspeakable and full of glory, you may want to ask yourself, why don't I have joy? We're going to talk about some of that in just a moment as well. But the Lord wants you to be full of joy, and it gives you assurance to build your joy upon. But secondly, our salvation, our assurance, is the basis for our hope, our blessed hope. We shall see him as he is, because we shall be like him. The blessed hope of the believer is one of these days the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and if we're still living down here, we're going to the Lord's going to cancel gravity and takes the church out of this old world. We're going to go sailing into glory, raptured by the precious Holy Spirit of God, and we'll be there with our Lord forever and ever and ever. And folks, when you know that, our hope of glory, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Amen. We shall be like him. Our assurance is the basis of our joy. Our assurance is the basis and foundation of our hope. And our assurance is the foundation of our peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Storms may come, difficulties may come, but I want to tell you, we have peace that passeth understanding when our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're talking about blessed assurance, the basis of our joy, our hope, our peace, and our victory. In 1 John 2:12-14, the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one or the wicked one. Blessed assurance, I can be an overcomer, and I am an overcomer in Christ through his precious blood. He is my victory. Victory in Jesus. We can sing it and sing it with all of our hearts because of who we are in Christ. Now, having said that, and having looked at these brief reasons that our assurance of salvation is the basis for, let's deal just a moment with the reality of life. Reality of, sometimes doubts may come. One of the greatest preachers of our generation is Jerry Vines. Jerry Vines said that doubt is hell to the human soul. He said doubt has been called the swinging bridge over the river of faith. 26 times in 5 chapters, John uses the word no, or gnosko, or some derivative of that word, because it's so important in the life of the believer. Doubt is God's alarm clock. I like that. Calling for God's spiritual examination. And God wants us to take a moment this morning and just do a check of where we stand spiritually, where we are. Because everybody, now listen carefully, everybody either has, is, or will experience some measure of doubt at some time. You may think, well, if something was wrong with me, I'm experiencing question marks in my life. Well, that's because you're human. And there's some other reasons that it comes along our way too. But it doesn't mean that you're not saved just because you go through a season of doubt. It means you just need to have a double check and be sure you look at your checklist. We're going to look at here in just a moment, as to how I can know that I know that I know that I'm saved, and how can all the doubts be settled. I can tell you the time may come in your life, and I pray that it will, that you won't ever doubt again, because all the doubts will be settled, and you'll have it settled forever. The reality of doubt is all of us experience it sometime or another. Why is that the case? Well, I've listed for us this morning four reasons why we doubt. First of all, there are physical reasons why we doubt. Have you ever noticed that when you don't feel well, it changes the perspective we have of almost everything in life? If you're having a toothache or you've got some kind of pain or maybe you just have run out of energy, for some reason you're going through some physical challenges, that affects your mind and affects your spirit, and you just need to be aware of that. And the old devil, by the way, remember Job? Those balls that he had and the misery that he went through, and the old devil came to him, and if I can paraphrase, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. The devil's going to whisper in your ear and try to steal your joy and steal your victory. And you can claim the precious blood of the Lamb and say, devil, regardless of how I feel physically, I'm standing fast on the solid rock, Christ Jesus, and I will not be moved and I will not be shaken. Be careful when you don't feel well, not to let it dictate your spiritual assurance. And by the way, let your blessed assurance get you through the season of not feeling well. But not only physical reasons, there are emotional reasons. I wish I could say that when you're saved, you won't ever have to worry about depression. Wish I could tell you, you don't have to ever worry about worry. Or you won't ever have to worry about doubt. Or you won't ever have to worry about fear. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, even though we're saved, those things creep into our lives sometimes before we even realize it. And if you're not careful, you can allow the tempter, the old evil one, to use emotional struggles, discouragement or despair or difficulty, to steal your joy and steal your victory. Just be aware of that. Reasons for doubt are physical, emotional, or theological. What do you mean, Brother Jackie? Well, there are a lot of folks who believe that you're saved by works and grace. And if you believe that, then that means you must be able to lose your salvation. Soon I'll be preaching a message on eternal security. But the truth is, if you don't believe we're saved by grace and kept by God's grace, you are subject to the old evil one attacking you in the area of your assurance. The theological reasons. By the way, I'm so grateful. I didn't do anything to earn salvation. I can't do anything to keep salvation. I'm saved by the grace of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are God's children by grace through faith. And then there are spiritual reasons. That was one of the problems at Corinth. There were folks at Corinth that couldn't get loose of the world. The world had a hold on them, and the world dictated how they lived. They were immoral, and they were fussing back and forth, and they were living for the world. And folks, listen, if you don't guard your heart, if you're not walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and blessed by God's grace as you walk with Him in sweet fellowship, you are subject to the attacks of the devil. And there are a lot of spiritual reasons. So I believe some folks are saved and don't have the assurance of their salvation. I remember as a pastor many years ago, had a young lady in our church. It was a wonderful Christian, but she just couldn't get it through her heart that what it means to be saved. And she talked to me about having doubts. And we've probably counseled many times about what it means to be saved. And when I tried to point her to the blood and to the grace of God, she always went back to her feelings. She always went back to her difficulties. And the devil used those things to steal her joy and steal her faith. But spiritually, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you're going to be blessed with sweet, blessed assurance. There are physical, emotional, theological, and spiritual reasons. But the good news is there are some good ways you can nail down this thing called blessed assurance. You don't have to doubt anymore. You can go home today and say, all the doubts are settled. Thank God, I know that I know that I know that if I died today, I'd have a home in heaven. How can that be? Well, for just a few moments, let's take a moment and look at what I've chosen to call here God's remedies for doubt. And there are several of them, but the first one is the most obvious. It's in John chapter 3 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, that you must be born again. Now, folks, everybody is not saved exactly in the same place. Not everybody's saved in church, though many people are. Not everybody is emotional when they're saved, though many are. I'm a squaller. When I get happy, I squall. I slobber and sling snot and have a spell, and that's just who I am. And the truth is, not everybody's that way. But this is the things that will be consistent is everybody who's saved had a time when they realized they were a sinner, and they told God in whatever way they could they were sorry for their sin. That's called repentance. It's turning around. And confession of sin. Confession is, I agree with God. God says I'm a sinner. I say I'm a sinner, and I call out to Him for forgiveness and the washing away of my sin and for salvation. The new birth is what God does in us when we open up our hearts and invite Jesus to become our Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit does a work of regeneration inside of us. When I went to that little church house on that revival night in Lacey Springs, somewhere around 1962, as a 12-year-old boy, I had no idea. I had no idea that my life was going to be changed forever that night. I had no idea that an old country preacher was going to stand up and preach the simple gospel, and the Holy Spirit was going to convict me. I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking about it. And I had no idea that the Holy Spirit was going to convict me of my sin. Man, I hadn't done drugs. I hadn't been malicious. I hadn't been a murderer or an adulterer. I was a 12-year-old, I will confess. And I've told you this before, and you'll remember when I tell you, that I was guilty of one serious spiritual felony. I stole a watermelon. Now, don't y'all look so spiritual. I love to do this. When I was in revival, I did it all the time. How many of you, and we're not going to embarrass you, not much. How many of you said, Brother Jackie, I can identify with you because I, too, have stolen a watermelon. Would you raise your hand? Thieves all over the place. Somebody just kind of. The truth is, I was saved because I realized all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, the reason I can sing Blessed Assurance Jesus is Mine is a long time ago the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin, and I called upon the name of Jesus as best as I knew how. I fell in that old-fashioned altar. There was a multicolored cloth over the pulpit, over the front of the pulpit. There wasn't a counselor, though, thank God for counselors. There wasn't one that night. I just poured out my heart to Jesus as best as I knew how. And the Lord doesn't say you've got to be a scholar to be saved. The Lord doesn't say you've got to know all the Word. You just know that you're a sinner and Jesus is the Savior. Turn from sin and by faith receive Him. The new birth is one of the ways that you can know that you know that you know that you're saved. He said, Brother Jackie, it was a long time ago. I don't remember everything about that day. Well, that happens. So God gives us some other reference points. Not only can you know on the basis of the new birth, you know on the basis of a transformed life. If what you had a long time ago, if your experience didn't change you, I wouldn't count on it to get me very far when it comes to eternal things and going to glory. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become what? There's something that happens when you get saved. Now, by the way, everything doesn't change automatically. Sometimes that's the spirit, that's the process of sanctification. When you're first saved, regeneration is that salvation moment. Sanctification is you grow in that walk with the Lord and your understanding of that walk. How can you know that you're saved? Well, things change. Now, I say this, but please let me finish it before you draw an opinion or conclusion. I go to all the bars I want to go to. Now, don't go out and tell your people, your friends, your pastor, goes to all the bars he wants to let me finish. I don't go to any. You know why? There ain't nothing there they've got that interests me. I don't go to the casinos. Now, if I make you mad, I'm sorry. You can apologize to me at the church. but I, south wind or wind, whatever it is down there, the casinos don't have anything that allures me. Nothing. And in fact, there's a lot of things this whole world has that just don't interest me at all. But I love a good gospel singing, and I love a good gospel revival, and I love being around God's people, and I love the things of God. That's not normal. That's a spiritual transformation And so you can know that you're saved by the new birth experience, and if you've been saved by the transform of the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, when somebody gets saved or makes a decision for the Lord, everything inside of me wants to say amen and glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Why? Because something's happened in me a long time ago. What are we talking about? Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. I was saved, and you may have been in a revival, you may have been in a cornfield. But the truth is, when you've been saved, God's grace takes over from there. Changed? Perfect? No, but one day we will be in Christ. And He's in the process of changing us day by day. Then there's the wonderful word of the living God. In fact, there's a wonderful passage in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. And I want us to look at it together for just a moment. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, that's present tense, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now listen carefully. God cannot what? Lie. God cannot break His word to you.
Amen.
Me. God is bound because He is a truthful God. What am I saying? You can know that you know that you know by the new birth encounter with Jesus. You can know that you know because of a changed life and you're in the process of being changed. You can know by the promises of the eternal, unchangeable, unalterable word of the living God. Romans 10:13. Now listen, get this. It's almost too simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
How can you know that you know that you know? The new birth, a changed life, the Word of God. And I like this one, the witness of the Holy Spirit. I call this God's amen in the depths of our hearts. In John chapter 3, verse 24, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by His Spirit which He hath given us. Did you know there was a heavenly transaction took place and you gave your heart to Jesus? The Holy Spirit came to dwell within your heart, never to leave again. And there's so many things the Holy Spirit does. He gives spiritual gifts to the children of God. He gives peace. He gives joy. He produces the life of Christ and produces fruit, the fruit of the believer. But the Holy Spirit is God's amen, God's yes, God's green light in the life of the believer. When I get along with the Lord, in my quiet time, my prayer time, my study time, my worship time, the Holy Spirit just kind of echoes amen and amen and amen in our heart, in my heart. And the Holy Spirit is God's way of saying, this is God's yes. You know, the world, when somebody walks down the aisle and makes a decision for Jesus, whatever that is, that blesses me. That blesses me. The world's not moved. The world's not stirred. But I am, because I remember the day that I walked down that aisle and gave my heart to Jesus. And I remember that day, that several years later, that I rededicated my life to the Lord because I'd begun to stray a little bit. You know, there come times that we need to do business with the Lord even though we are saved. That is, just come back and say, Lord, help me to set my soul, you set my soul afire, Lord, for your holy word. Set my soul afire for souls. Set my soul afire for revival. And when that time comes and God stirs our hearts again, in our hearts we can sing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Could I ask you a question? Do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven?
Amen.
Brother Gray Allison, the wonderful president of Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary for years, one of the great preachers of our generation, was at Moulton Baptist Church many years ago, and I went there as a young preacher, heard Dr. Gray preach, and he preached on assurance of salvation. It was one of the most meaningful sermons I ever remember hearing. I don't remember the sermon, don't remember the outline, don't remember the notes, but I remember going away thinking, Lord, thank you that But I can say I know that I know that I know, because it doesn't depend on me. It depends on the grace of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the keeping power of God.
Amen.
Do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd have a home in heaven? Question number two. If God were to say to me and you today, why should I let you into heaven? What would you tell him? What would you tell him? Lord, because of Jesus, Mark, you're absolutely right. Because one day I realized I was a sinner. And in simple childlike faith, I invited Christ into my heart and life. His word says he cannot lie. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I can sing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, because of Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Do you know that you know that you know? If you're not sure, why don't you get it settled today? And I do remember Dr. Allison saying this as he concluded his sermon on assurance of salvation. He said, you can go away from here with all the doubts being settled. Just come and give your heart totally to the Lord. Say, Lord, if I'm not saved, if I can't have the assurance, I want to settle it today, and I want to yield all that I am to the Lordship of Christ. Somebody may need to come and do that. Somebody may need to come and just simply rededicate their life to the Lord. You know you're saved. You just need to begin to discover afresh the joy of walking in blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Or maybe you just need to come and rededicate your heart and life to the Lord and begin anew with a fresh fire to serve the wonderful cause of Christ. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Say it with me. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Let's bow together.